The reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at the first verse. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. And I know this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surprisingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." This is the word of the Lord.
I'll start by saying thanks, Leslie, for reading so eloquently the word of God, and also to say greetings to you in the precious and exalted name of our risen Saviour, Jesus Christ. I trust that all of you had a good Christmas and maybe even a good New Year. And so therefore, for some of you, you might be in a situation where you're recovering from the exertions of the festive period. There may be others here this morning who have already recovered, and indeed some others who don't need any recovery. So to those who've recovered, those who've not recovered, or those who don't need any recovery, I should say this morning, well done. For those of us who still have some recovery to do, I wish you full and speedy recovery. I note this morning, as I stand here, that by the special grace of God, you and I have been spared to transition into 2023. And later on, I'll be talking about this grace of God, what it means, to give us some insights on what God has laid upon my heart. And for me, there's not a better way or better place to start the new year than in the house of the Lord. The psalmist in one of the psalms reflects on some of the benefits to be derived when the children of God, believers, gather together in fellowship. And he says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like a precious ointment upon the head that runneth down from the beard, even Aaron's beard." So whilst it looks a bit bright out there, I would have liked it to be more sunny. Whatever it is out there, we are privileged this morning to be in here in fellowship, basking in the sunlight of God's everlasting love. So together this morning, we arrive at this place, the start of the year, within a backdrop of substantial and significant national challenges. We know about these. We also at the place where we come to the start of 2023 with different circumstances. We're in different places. But I'm here to deliver to you this morning that no matter what circumstances you face, no matter what the situation you have this morning, that God has laid this message on my heart for you, that His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for me. His grace is enough to take us through the storms of life. His grace is sufficient for us to meet every challenge that we face. And so this morning, the title of my talk in the next few moments is His Grace is Sufficient for Me, taken from the passage so well read by Leslie, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 to 9. And for the purpose of this talk, I'll be doing a few things. Firstly, be looking at the life of a man, Paul, an apostle, a missionary, pioneer missionary, who faced enormous challenges, pretty much like we face at the threshold of this new year. I've been looking at what that challenge was. Paul tells us God gave him a thorn in his side. What does that mean? What Paul's reaction to this was? What God's response was? And finally, I conclude things by looking at what our response should be, given the insights that we would have gained from this from these points. I'm sure you'll all agree with me as I start when I make the statement that we're living in some of the most unprecedented times for generations. In 2020, we experienced what's called there was a COVID-19 pandemic affected all of us. And the fallout from this impacted significantly in some of the freedoms that you and I take for granted. Who would forget this well-worn mantra, hands, face, space? I'm sure we all remember, or maybe we've forgotten. The memory is very short. But I'm sure it impacted on us in very significant ways. Communities were at a loss. Individuals lost. People lost. I know somebody who lost their business. It had been going for 25 years, and in one fell swoop, within a few months of the COVID-19 pandemic, the whole family lost the business. People lost their jobs. On a personal note, I suffered loss. I could remember vividly on the 4th of April, it was, 2020. I was sat in my study reading when the phone rang, my mobile phone rang, and the person on the other side was a consultant from the hospital of Whitechapel, where my brother had been admitted briefly. And in very solemn tones, he told me that my brother had passed. He had contracted COVID-19 and he'd passed. And from that statement, there was a series of actions which would always impact on me till, you know, the Lord calls me home. My brother's wife was so devastated. She was not in a position to deal with any of this, so it was left to me to organize and carry out a funeral in circumstances where you were not able to meet anyone. You were not able to see anyone. So, after a few weeks, we buried him. 10 of us, we buried my brother in a cemetery in East London. But I tell you something, that experience, I saw experience what it means to have the grace. Because it's only the grace of God that could take you through those experiences. Because to lose a sibling, someone you grew up with, someone we played instruments together in church, is different from, say, when you lose someone else. But I thank God this morning for His grace. But no sooner had we as a nation, as a community, as individuals, seemed to be recovering from this, than we walk into what I'll call an economic tsunami, an economic storm. The war in Ukraine and the fallout from that, spiraling inflation, high increasing interest rates impacting on us, the cost of fuel, everything, prices going off. We live in times when we feel the economic squeeze. Those are the challenges which we face. And you know, we face these challenges at a time when we don't know what would happen. So we're at the threshold of a new year. We don't know what the ensuing days, weeks, and months would bring. But we know that the grace of God would see us through. But we also see that Paul, in the passage of Scripture which is read, is a man also who faced enormous and significant challenges. Paul was endued with special grace by God to start up, to establish, and to nurture churches. Paul, as he was a pioneer missionary, and in his ministry, he set up churches in places where hitherto, before his time, the gospel was unknown. But so often in Paul's ministry, his credentials and credibility as a missionary, as an apostle, were brought into question. And every time Paul faced this circumstance, when his ministry, his credentials were brought into question, he would respond by detailing in clear terms his experience of how he was called by God to be a missionary and the challenges he faced in his work as a missionary. So he would talk about when he was shipwrecked, the lashings or the beatings he received, the threat to his person that emanated from both Jews and Gentiles. Paul would also talk about experiences that he heard of, or the supernatural experiences where he was transported out of his body into heavenly places. He saw things, he experienced things surreal that he thought if he had said to people, they would not believe. They would not understand. And Paul says that all these taken together could form the basis where somebody or someone, an individual, can become boastful and proud. And so he says, God, knowing this, gave him a thorn in the flesh. So what was Paul's issue? What was his problem? What was the challenge that he faced? He faced this issue of a thorn in the flesh. And he says that God gave this to him to prevent him, in spite of all these experiences that he's had, to prevent him from being conceited or boastful. Now, the Bible does not tell us in specific terms what Paul's thorn in the flesh was or is. But Paul, in verse 5 of the scripture reading, gives us some insight. He says, God gave him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment him and prevent him from being proud. So the thorn in the flesh is the messenger from Satan that God gave him to torment him and prevent him from being proud. So the thorn in the flesh, we can deduce from this, is anything that causes us to be worried, anything that causes us to be tormented, anxious, fretful. That's a thorn in the flesh. And I'm sure you'll agree with me this morning that all of us, with the exception of none, have a thorn in the flesh that we face. That situation that causes or torments us, that causes us sleepless nights, that worries us, causes us to be anxious, fretful, fearful. thorn in the flesh. And I tell you this, you need not worry if you have a thorn in the flesh, because we're all in this together. But I know you do, as I do, and that makes us prime candidates for the grace, the all-surpassing grace of God to be manifested. So Paul had this thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan that tormented him with the overarching objective of preventing him from becoming proud. What was Paul's response to this? Well, Paul tells us in verse 8 that he begged, he prayed 3 times to God to remove this thorn in his flesh. One can only imagine how restless, Paul was, or the impact of this whole experience on him was. He prayed to God 3 times. He begged God to remove the thorn in his flesh. And you know, I think it's only a natural thing that when we as people face problems, we want those problems to go away. And I'm always often amazed by when I listen to some preachers, some motivational speakers, Christian motivational speakers, they say things to the extent that God will remove all your problems. God will remove all your challenges. You'll become rich overnight. And all your problems, come to my church, and all your problems would cease. I get worried when I hear this, because it's not proper doctrine. Because if you only imagine for one moment, if we didn't have any problems, we didn't have any challenges, what would that make us? It would make us gods, because we would not need God. But God, in all his mercy, is encompassing. So Paul prayed 3 times for God to remove the thorn in his flesh. And I can only imagine he was disappointed because he didn't get the response that he was expecting for God to remove the thorn in his flesh. But God responded, but not in the way that Paul expected and what he wanted. So then, what was God's response in the face of Paul's begging, importuning prayer for him to remove the thorn in the flesh? Verse 9 tells us that Paul says, every time he prayed, the 3 times he prayed, he begged God, God had these words for him: my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made strong in your weakness. His grace is sufficient for you, for his power is made strong in his weakness. What is his grace? Grace, defined simply, is unmerited favor. The unmerited favor that you and I receive from God. The unmerited favor which caused Jesus Christ to go to the cross of Calvary and die for your sins and my sins. The unmerited favor that means that you and I can stand before him, not with condemnation, but as saints before the throne of glory. Hallelujah. That's the unmerited favor. And the Bible in Hebrews gives us further insight about what the grace of God is. The Bible tells us, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that is not of yourself, not of myself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, any child would boast. It is the free gift of God. That's his grace. So in the passage in verse 9, God, within the context, God was saying to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough. In other words, my grace is enough for you to see you through the storms of life. God was making a statement of assurance that he would not leave Paul. He would not leave you and I in the face of our difficult circumstances. You see, the reality is when Paul prayed to God, begged God to remove the thorn in his flesh, God could have done one of three things. God could have removed the thorn because he's all supreme, all sovereign. He could have done that. Secondly, he could have allowed Paul, or he can allow us to be in that situation, but strengthen our shoulders under the weight, the enormous weight of the thorn in the flesh. Stay with us through, and through that, show his power. And the 13th thing God could have done, he's not done anything, but in God's case, doing nothing perhaps was not an option. So this is what God did. He strengthened the shoulders of Paul underneath the weight of this thorn in his flesh, stayed with him, held his hand. So through Paul's weakness, God's sufficiency can come through. And so we hear today, as I said previously, all of us without exception have a thorn in our flesh. For some, the thorn could be sickness. If you hear today and that is your experience, be assured that by his stripes we were healed. By his stripes, I didn't say we are healed, we were healed because he did it on the cross of Calvary. You might be here today and your thorn of the flesh is financial. Be assured, rest assured, the Bible tells us, my God shall supply all of your needs, not some of your needs, all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you may also be here today, that thorn in your flesh might be spiritual. The Bible also tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and encourages us in the circumstance to take on the whole armor of God, and having done all else, to stand. If our thorn in the flesh is spiritual this morning, rest assured that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Hallelujah. And so this is the word of God we face. The psalmist puts this in perspective in Psalm 91, verse 3, that when we are blessed with the special grace of God, when we are favored by God, we will not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows which fly by day, nor the disease that stalks in darkness, or the disaster that strikes at noonday. That's the grace of God. Hallelujah. So for Paul to experience the grace of God, he had to believe in God's sufficiency. And you and I, to experience the grace of God, have to believe in his sufficiency. So what is the response as I close in the face of all of this? The response is one that should bring from us a spirit, a heart, an attitude of thanksgiving, of gratitude, of praise, and equally of dedication to God and to the promoting of his kingdom on earth. I would close this morning with reflection on the words of a hymn of dedication that is normally apt for this time of the year. Father, let me dedicate all this year to thee. In whatever worldly state thou wilt have me be, not from sorrow, pain, or care, freedom dare I claim. This alone shall be my prayer. Glorify your name. And we glorify his name because his grace is sufficient for me. And on that note, I take this opportunity on behalf of myself and my family to wish you a blessed and prosperous 2023, where you will experience more of God's abounding grace, because his grace is sufficient for us. Amen.